here now is gone, and my body will drown.
Hey everybody, welcome to mattnews.biz, my podcast where I talk about my thoughts, opinions, beliefs, whatever you want to call them, that have been lovingly dubbed Matt News. I hope everybody's having a good day today. I hope everybody's doing well. Today we're going to talk about a couple of different things. We're going to talk about, I want to talk a little bit about Soul just for a couple of seconds, just for like Soul, the Disney Pixar movie that just came out. I also want to talk a little bit about an article that I posted. So I did start a blog. You can go to mattnews.biz, and if you put it in there, it'll take you to my blog that I started, and I wrote my first blog post on there. You can read about it, but we're going to talk a little bit about it. I'm not going to read it word for word. We're just going to talk about it, talk through it with my own voice. I want to talk about it, and then talk about maybe what's coming in the future with mattnews.biz, what my next thing is going to be, what my next blog post is going to be about. And then what I'll probably do is, if I don't have a guest, this is probably what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to come on and just talk through what my blog post was about. Now you can interact with me on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. I am streaming on those platforms live right now. You can comment in the comment section or chat section, whatever platform you're watching on there, and I'll see it and I'll be able to respond. I'll save a time at the end to respond to that. But it's just me, so I might respond as I go along today. So hopefully this is coming to you and you're watching. I know this is kind of a surprise podcast. I just felt like I was kind of absent the past couple of weeks, and there was no really good reason except that I didn't have a guest. And so that's one of the reasons why I kind of started the blog. And I figured if I could write the blog, then I could talk about the blog. So that's kind of what we're going to do. We're going to go through that today. First, I want to talk about Soul. So there's this new Disney Pixar movie that came out titled Soul. And let me just pull it up really quick on IMDb and kind of read the synopsis of what the movie is about if you haven't seen it. And then kind of go about, because I did watch it with Nikki. Me and Nikki watched it, and I'll give you my thoughts. So here's a synopsis. After landing the gig of his lifetime, a New York jazz pianist suddenly finds himself trapped in a strange land between Earth and the afterlife. This is a Disney Pixar film. It was directed by Pete Docter and Kemp Powers, written by Pete Docter, Mike Jones, and I believe Kemp Power also co-wrote it as well. Yes, it's the voice of the main character, Joe Gardner, was voiced by Jamie Foxx, and then Tina Fey was the voice of 22. There's actually a lot of good names on here. You got Graham Norton as Moonwind, who's kind of like this the hippie guy that's on there. So let's talk about it a little bit. So what a lot of people are complaining about is kind of the new aginess of the movie, because it does deal with like the afterlife. And then they have this thing called, it was before life. I don't remember what they called it, but it's, you know, before, people are born, they're kind of like a pre-soul, and there's these, beings who, help put their personality together, and you know, and they have to figure out what their spark is before they go off to Earth and have a life or whatever. And so that's what this character 22 is. She is a soul that hasn't found her spark yet, and these beings are having a hard time finding her spark, and they, and what they do is they pair them with, they pair these new souls to, mentors who have passed and, you know, have come, become mentors. I think one of them was like Marie Antoinette. One of them was Einstein. One of them was Nietzsche. And so they pair these souls with them, and they're supposed to mentor them to help them find their spark. And once they find their spark, then they get an Earth pass, is what it's called. And then they're sent to Earth. That's not the synopsis. That's coming as part of the movie. So what happens is this guy, Joe Gardner, he's a jazz pianist, and he's a teacher. He teaches jazz piano. He finally like books this gig, and then he dies. And he goes to the afterlife. Spoiler alert, but it's like the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie. He dies and he goes to the afterlife, and he tries to escape the afterlife. So that's what the whole movie, that's kind of the basis of the whole movie. That's what kind of flings the movie forward. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody, so I'm not going to give away any more of the plot. But what I am going to say is a lot of people are and I say people, but it's a lot of Christians are upset because this movie is very New Agey. It doesn't talk about heaven or hell, but it does talk about these souls, and souls retain a lot of what they were, who they were before going into the, you know, the great beyond is what they call it. They don't call it heaven. There's no mention of like a place like hell or anything like that. There's no mention of any kind of eternal conscious torment or anything like that. Just the great beyond. You have the great beyond, you could become a mentor, and that's about it. Those are like your two afterlife options. But that's, you know, that's kind of what people are upset about, is just that it's very New Agey. And so it doesn't follow Christian teaching, Christian doctrine about the afterlife. There's a whole can of worms that you can open with that, because there's actually quite a few different opinions about what happens in the afterlife within Christian circles. So it's almost like there's no true Christian doctrine about the afterlife, because there are these different opinions about it. Anyways, so people are getting upset, and they're like, my kids aren't going to watch this movie because, you know, it's not Christian, so on and so forth. But if you look at movies like that, and I've had this argument with people before about content that has, you know, like curse words in it or stuff like that, and it's like, I look past that because I want to look at the message. And there are some movies that just have no message. They don't have a good message. They're just there to as enjoyment, or they're just trash. I don't think that this is that kind of movie. I think that this movie is one that you should watch. Why? Because the message that it gives is a message of like, enjoy life. Enjoy life while you're living it. And don't take it for granted. And also don't really fear death. Don't fear what's coming. That's really the crux of the movie. And I think like I made a post today about it, and I said, you know, that's what the movie, that's the base of the movie, is just enjoy life. Not just enjoy it, but really don't take it for granted. Don't take life for granted, and really, live for today. Live for this life, because what a lot of Christians end up doing is they end up living for this future kingdom and this future life. And so this life is just, you know, this is the in between. We're living not for what is to come, but we are living for what is to come, and we're not living for what's now. And I think that's a great disparage. I think that's a great disconnect. And I think that it's sad that we look that way. Mr. Rogers famously talked about this, and it's a Hebrew Jewish philosophy, and it's called a tikkun olam, which is just this restoration, this repairing of the earth is what it is. And I think that that's what the Christian story is. It is this repairing of the earth, the world, humanity is broken and it needs to be fixed. And the only way it's going to be fixed is, well, as a Christian, one is through Jesus. However, people have to come to know Jesus. And so you have to let them know about that. You have to let them know about Jesus. And where are you going to do that? You're going to do it now. And Jesus himself even says that the kingdom of heaven is now. The kingdom of heaven is, if anybody comes asking you, where is the kingdom of heaven? Where is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is within you, is what Jesus says in Luke. And I think a lot of people miss that. I think a lot of people miss that the kingdom of heaven is now. It's not some future thing. It's not something that we're waiting for. The kingdom of heaven is present. It's now. It's within you. Jesus reigns now. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And a lot of people miss that. So Soul, the movie Soul, it's not this bad movie. It's not a bad movie at all. It has a great message that I think that every person should hear, especially Christians should hear it, that don't take your life for granted. Miss life. And also a great message that's in this, that's in the movie too, is not to, to put your life's purpose into one thing, you know, and not to think that your life purpose is the thing that you like the most, because this guy, the main character, Joe Gardner, his passion, that's what it is don't take your passion as your life purpose. You may have a passion for something, but that doesn't make it your life purpose. I have a passion for filmmaking. I haven't achieved it yet. And I don't think that that's my purpose in life, is to make a great movie. Because what happens if I were to go out tonight and, you know, Lord forbid something happened. Lord forbid tomorrow doesn't come. Does that mean I didn't fulfill my life purpose? Absolutely not. My life passion was filmmaking. That doesn't make it my life purpose. And so I think that's a struggle that Joe Gardner has to figure out in the movie Soul. And I think that's a great message for Christians, because I think Christians put that as part, like, we have this trend right now that's happening in Christianity is, you know, you have to find your identity and everything like that. And a lot of people mistake the whole finding your identity in Christ as find your purpose in Christ. And a lot of people mistake purpose for passion. A lot of people mistake purpose for passion, and that's not necessarily the truth. And you're going to be disappointed in life if you make that mistake. And that's another message that comes out of Soul. It's a great movie. Great movie. I think a lot of people should watch it. I think if you're a buddy of mine was saying that his kids really didn't get the message, so they didn't enjoy it quite as much as he did. So I think this is more of a movie for parents, but parents, you know, it's a good enough movie that I think you could watch it with your kids. And I actually think that would open up a dialogue about what happens when you die. I think it's a great opportunity to do that and to talk about that. You can even, as a Christian, talk about, hey, well, we don't, you know, here are some things that we don't agree with this movie, but let's talk about the message of the movie. And don't be so hell bent on, you know, if it doesn't exactly match up with my theology, I'll never watch it or recommend it. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of the movies that come out of PureFlix probably do not match up with your theology 100%. And, you know, there you go. It's just not obvious to you. But so now we're going to transition a little bit. That was about Soul again. Totally recommend it. Highly recommend it. I would give it Nikki is actually in the room. Nikki, what would you give it? I would give it like an 8 out of 10. I thought it was really, really good. Nikki says, yeah, she would say the same, about an 8 out of 10. If I were to change the score, go a little bit lower, but like, I don't even know if it'd get lower. I think it would probably, it's just 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10. It's a great movie. Great movie. It's a solid 8. It's a solid, solid 8. So I wrote this blog post. Again, you can go to mattnews.biz. It'll come up, or you can just, you know, mattnews.biz.wordpress.com, because it didn't let me add the dot in between news and biz. But mattnews.biz, it'll go right to my WordPress blog. Just because I acknowledge you, one point. Go ahead, Nikki.
I can just add something.
I don't know if the microphone can pick you up.
It's fine. You can read it.
Okay.
Everything we watch has to be so serious.
Not everything we watch has to be so serious.
It's a fictional movie.
It's a fictional movie.
And? We really shouldn't take everything so serious.
We really shouldn't take everything so serious all the time. That's one of my big things about movies in general is, yeah. You know, don't take it so serious. They're movies. Movies are meant to the thing is movies are mostly meant to convey a message, not to, you know, not to be 100% accurate. You know, I mean, even biography movies aren't 100% accurate. They're there to tell you the message. They're there to tell you the message of the characters or, you know, the story. Anyways, again, we're transitioning into this piece again. I started a blog. It's on WordPress, mattnews.biz in your address bar, and it'll go right to this page. This is my first time working with WordPress, so it's not like I didn't want to make it super fancy. I wanted to really just make it like it's about the blog. It's about reading the blog. So the blog is called The Failed Election Prophecy of 2020, a rebuttal to an argument against prophecy. So let's start off with the fact that there was a butt ton of prophecies about Donald Trump winning the 2020 election. I will not go into my thoughts about all of that. I will just say that there was a lot of prophets that that said that Donald Trump was going to win this election. There, you know, and there was all kinds of stuff that was encompassed in that, that was encompassed in these prophecies that were going around. And so if I could recommend a great watch is Remnant Radio. They've actually done a couple of things specifically about these prophecies that happened in 2020, and specifically about they just recently released a video about prophecy dealing with Trump. Specifically, I would definitely go ahead and recommend that video. Go watch that. It's on YouTube, Remnant Radio. I'm not going to put a link in my bio. I would just say go watch it if you really want to watch it. Remnant Radio, and it talks about the Donald Trump prophecies and these prophets. So what I want to talk about is actually this. It's a TikTok video. I actually wish I would have pulled it up and to play the audio. But there's this TikTok video. So I follow a lot of people on TikTok. I would say I'm a avid TikToker, but I don't have a huge following. So if you're on TikTok and you're watching this, go ahead and give me a follow at mattnews.biz. That's what I am on TikTok. I follow a lot of people. I will tell you this. If you get on TikTok, you're going to have to program your algorithm. So the algorithm is just the kind of the funnel that leads to you. The algorithm was working to try to get you to look at stuff. That's what the algorithm does. So what you have to do is you have to be very, when you first get on, especially, it's kind of computing what you're looking at, and it's going to put things in front of you that it thinks that you're going to keep watching. There is a lot of thirst traps out there. And they're going to try to get you. And I'm going to tell you right now, here's the secret, especially as a Christian. You got to hold down on the video and then put not interested. And it will slowly but surely stop showing up in your algorithm. So I've got mine now where I'm on like Star Wars TikTok. So I get a lot of Star Wars videos. I'm actually on like house building TikTok. So like there's a lot of DIY TikTok. You know, but then there's a side of TikTok that's Christian TikTok, and it's a lot of Christians, and we are on there. And I say we because I am also in these conversations, but we're discussing theology. We're talking about different theological points of view. We are sharing the gospel, you know, the best that we can. We're sharing the gospel and we're trying to share our opinions. So that's what side of TikTok I try to stay on. However, sometimes it doesn't work out too well. So what I want to do is I actually want to play this video that I so what you can do on TikTok is you can actually make it where people can't like do, there's a thing called duetting. So like your video will play right next to my, so like I can record a video watching your video and I can respond or anything like that. There's even a feature called Stitch, which I can put like 5 seconds of your video in front of my video. And, hold on a second. I'm trying to find this, this video. I thought I saved it. And so it gives you the opportunity to open up a dialogue and to really talk to people and really discuss things. And maybe you don't agree with somebody. That actually happens a lot on this app, but maybe you don't agree with somebody, but, you can stitch it and talk about it and things like that. I can't find the video now. I can't find the video. But anywho, so what I'll do is I'll just kind of read it from the article. This kind of stinks because I was really hoping to play the audio for you. But so let's just go through the article here. So what a lot of I'm not going to say a lot of them, but some of the people that are on TikTok are what's called cessationists. If you don't know what a cessationist is, cessationists basically believe that the gifts that were given on Pentecost have ceased. So like tongues, prophecy. I really think there's a few others, but really like those gifts are kind of done. Like there's no point in them. They believe that the canon is closed. And so, you know, everything that we need to know is contained within scripture. And so, those, offices and those gifts, are no longer necessary. I don't agree with that. I would consider myself to be what's called a continuationist, which means that I believe, that the gifts have continued on. One of the reasons I believe that currently is because I think that there's still work to do. I think that, now I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine and I was talking to him about it and we were saying, you know, and we were talking about, well, maybe our understanding of what a prophet actually is, it isn't correct. You know, maybe has that office, you know, so that brings up the question, has that office changed? Does it function as it did in the Old Testament? A statement he made that I thought was a very well put and something that I want to definitely research a little bit more is, you know, that the Old Testament prophets were foretelling the coming of Christ and that prophets after that were forth telling, so they were pointing backwards to Christ. I think that's how he put it. Foretelling, so you're telling it forward, and forth telling, you're telling it backwards. Well, that was pretty good. That was, you know, it was a pretty good explanation. Do I necessarily hold to that right now? I don't know. It's something I'd have to look at for myself and really study scripture and see. But what I want to do is I want to break down this guy. So this guy on TikTok, again, I wish I had the video, but this guy on TikTok, he lays out this argument on why prophecy no longer happens. It is, he is a cessationist. So he says that these prophetic gifts that were given on Pentecost, prophecy and the gift of tongues no longer happen. And he talks specifically about how, the prophets that prophesied Trump winning in 2020 is proof positive that prophecy does not happen nowadays. Now, again, I'm not going to talk about those prophets. And I use that term prophet loosely. I'm not going to talk about those people that call themselves prophets and prophesied that Trump was going to win the 2020 election. I'm not going to talk about that. You can go look at there's tons of YouTube footage. There's tons of articles out there. There's tons of books out there that talk about Donald Trump prophecy 2020. We're not going to talk about that. What I want to talk about is this argument that was placed before me on TikTok about cessationism. So, and the reason I want to specifically go after this argument is because it's one argument. It's not like I'm not, you know, going at the entirety of cessationism, because that's a lot, because one, that's a lot of work, and two, it's a long conversation to have. But his argument that he made on TikTok, I feel like it fell short, and it came from Ephesians 4. So what I want to do is, I would love, if you have a Bible handy, turn to Ephesians 4, and I want to read it along with you. And I want to address these points that this person made. So his points were this. First of all, let's go ahead and he quotes Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13a. And I say 13a because he does not finish quoting the entirety of verse 13. He stops at 13a, the first part of verse 13. And he reads out of the King James Version. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up a parallel translation, and then I'm going to share my screen with you. So I'm going to share my screen. We'll do some picture in picture here. We're going to transition. So you're going to see my OBS. I use OBS, everybody, along with Restream. Oh, can I click it again? There we go. So now we're on my Bible. I like to go to BibleGateway.com. I just think it's super easy to use. I usually start there, and if I want to look up anything else, then I go to BlueLetterBible.org. But we're just going to read just read the scripture. Okay, so we're in chapter 4 of Ephesians. I've got King James on my right side. I've got my English Standard Version, which I've actually gone back to, but I've got English Standard Version on the left here, and we're going to go from chapter 4. We're going to go into we're going to start in verse 12, because he started in verse 12. So he says this. So we're going to read this: "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man." Stop. That's where he stops. So that's where we are going to stop. So the argument he makes is this. He says that the gifts, namely prophecy, were meant until these things, the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man. So he says these are three distinct things, and that prophecy stops at these. Okay. So he says that the unity of faith, that's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles now being of one faith, as stated. And he mentions Galatians 3:28, which we'll talk about later. Okay. And I don't necessarily disagree with him about that. He says the knowledge of the Son of God, and he says that the knowledge of the Son of God is the saving knowledge of Jesus. It's already come, so we already have this news, and therefore you can't be saved without it. Okay, so he says that specifically, if you don't have the knowledge of the Son of God is here, therefore we don't need prophecy anymore. Then he says unto a perfect man, and he stops there, and he says that refers to being in the perfect man, Jesus, meaning that you're saved, meaning that Jesus lives within you. So these three things are out there. They're out there in the ether, right? And so since these things are here, that means that prophecy specifically has stopped, because it has no purpose here anymore, right? I want to refute that argument, because I don't think that argument is a good argument. Because one, the way that he uses scripture it's a practice that I don't like. This practice is called proof texting. So proof texting is where you take a point, right? And you, I guess I could just go back to, Bible Gateway here. Let's see. I'm trying to think of a weird doctrine that people have where they have like one Bible verse that proves it. that's pretty much agreed on that that's like taken out of context. That's what I'm trying to think of, what something like that, because I don't want to get in too much trouble here. But so proof texting is basically taking a belief that you hold dear, right? And then you find a Bible verse that that backs it up, right? But you take it completely out of context to support your claim. So I'm trying to think of one, Nikki, and I know there's like a ton. There's a ton of them, but I can't think of any. How about this one? This one's a good one. So Matthew 18, right? So I'll turn to it so I don't misquote it, because I definitely don't want to do that. So Matthew 18, I'm not going to put it up on my screen, but I'll just read it to you. And it is where Jesus says this. Where two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Where where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. Right. So you have this verse, and so that verse tells you that wherever two or three people are gathered in Jesus' name, that means he's there with you. Boom, done. Proof texted. It says it right there in the word. That's what Jesus said. That's what it means. That if there's two or three of you and you're all together and you're there in the name of Jesus, then Jesus is in the midst of you, right? There I am among them. However, big however, that is taking it out of context, because the whole chapter 18, and I believe I did a whole podcast episode about this, or a Bible study episode about this. So I do these Bible studies outside of my podcast. They're on my YouTube page. But the whole entirety of chapter 18 is Jesus answering a question. And he says that, Jesus has a couple of disciples, and they ask him, they say, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So when you're reading chapter 18, you have to keep this question in mind, because this question is what Jesus is answering. So when you see that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them, you have to ask the question, what was Jesus talking about there? What does he mean by that? I'm not going to go into that. Again, I have a whole Bible study episode that I did about that specific verse, the specific chapter, Matthew 18. You can go check it out for yourself. But Jesus is answering that question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So that's proof texting. Sort of. That's like a light proof texting, right? That's one that doesn't bother me a whole lot. But what it does is that when you do that practice so much, it leads down a road of a lot of false doctrine and a lot of doctrine that isn't supported by scripture. And I think that that's what he does a lot of here in his argument with Ephesians 4. So the first part of my rebuttal is this. The first part of my rebuttal is that, hey man, you forgot to quote verse 11. So what is verse 11? So we'll go here. Man, I got a little in my throat. So verse 11, we'll pull it up here. Again, ESV is on the left. King James is on the right. So King James says this in verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. What is he talking about here? He gave some. So it talks about when Jesus ascended into heaven. Excuse me. Trying to think of where is like a good place to start that it, like it keeps the context of it, but it, like I don't have to read a whole lot here. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7. Let's start at verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, and Christ's gift being that of eternal life. He died for our sins so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be members in his kingdom. Therefore, it says, it's talking about scripture, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And then in verse 9, it talks about, you know, don't talk about who's ascending and who's descending, because that just kind of lowers and heightens different things that aren't necessary. Verse 10, he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or the pastors and teachers to equip the saints of the work of ministry for building up the body until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. Stop, because that's where he stops. I was reading that from ESV. Let's read it again here in the King James. He that descended, he's talking about Jesus who died and he went into the grave. He that descended is the same who also ascended, went up to heaven, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave, Jesus, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose did he give these things? He gave them for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, right? That's what he gave these things for. Until we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Stop. Because that's his argument. Stop. Right? So verse 11, this is my first point here, right? My first point is you forgot to mention verse 11, because verse 11, for me, when I read verse 11, it's not so much about the gifts of the Spirit, like what Paul talks about, which is prophecy and tongues and those things, because there's other ones, you know, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about gifts. I think it's 12 through like 14 or 15 talks about these gifts. And there's other gifts too. There's not just tongues of prophecy listed in there. There's like administration and knowledge. You know, we forget about those gifts that are mentioned in there. You know, well, if gifts are closed, then I guess nobody has knowledge anymore. You know, that's kind of my thought process here. But let's talk about this. So for me, what these sound like are, it's either one of two things. It's either A, it's not talking about the gifts as you're talking about them. It's talking about offices, or it's talking about these offices that were given as gifts. So you have these offices that are being fulfilled. You have this office of prophet. You have this office of apostles. You have this office of evangelists, office of pastors and teachers, right? And what are they there for? They're there for the perfecting of the faith, the work of the ministry, and the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. So if your argument is that because it says these things were given for these purposes until these three things happen. Well, if you're saying, well, these three things are fulfilled, so we don't need prophets anymore. Do you not? So that means that the work of ministry is done. We don't need to minister to anybody anymore. That's finished. We're done with that. We don't need to edify or build up the body of Christ because, you know, we're done. We're done till all that stuff is done. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. And then also too, I believe he takes on the role of pastor at his church. If he doesn't, I'm sure he goes to a church that has a pastor. And I believe that there's probably Sunday school teachers there as well. So if the office of prophet is done and the office of apostle is done, why are we still allowing teachers, evangelists, and pastors to practice? If these things are done away with until, and that until has been met, then why do we need these things anymore? So that's where this argument falls apart as well, right? My second point that I want to make about his is that this till date that he says, because he says that till or until is an expiration date. That's a clear expiration of these things. It's saying that these things are going to expire, right? Well, I would say that this until that is associated with an end. It is. It's, you know, until usually means that something is going to happen that's going to make these things stop. But I don't see any evidence of that's what's happened. I don't see any evidence of that. And I don't think Paul even hints that this list of things is closed. I don't think he does that. So what I want to do, and this is the reason why I don't think it's closed. And I mentioned in my blog post, 1 Corinthians 13:8-10, right? So 13:8-10 is where, Paul talks about these gifts, and he's talking to the Corinthians. And he says, love never ends. He's talking about these gifts, and he says, love never ends. But as for prophecy, it's going to pass away. Tongues are going to stop. Knowledge, it's going to be gone. For right now, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So these gifts that he mentions, which are things that you should pursue, is what he says, what Paul says. He says you should pursue these gifts because that's what they are. They're gifts. However, they're only there to fulfill a partial need right now until perfection comes. And right now we live in a fallen world. And so that perfect is not yet realized. And I think that's what Paul means when he says, when the perfect comes. Now, is this perfect the same perfect that this TikTok guy is talking about, that our friend is talking about in 14 or in chapter 4, verse 13a? Is it the perfect man? Is that what he's talking about? Because he believes that the perfect man should be realized, because if you're not in the perfect man, then the perfect man isn't in you. The perfect man is Jesus. And so if you're in Jesus, then you're a perfect man, and so on and so forth. I don't think that's right. But what I think Paul was talking about is, I think he's talking about the new heavens and the new earth, which is still yet to come. That's when the perfect is realized. That's when Jesus has come back and he's judged the quick and the dead. He's judged everyone, and he's taken this judgment. He's cleansed the world, and he brings the new Jerusalem down, and we're living in the new heavens and the new earth in eternity, right? Because 1 Corinthians 15:54-58 says this. It says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Why? Because the future hope is that death, because Jesus defeated death on the cross. But he's going to cast death into the fire at the end, right? That's what we believe, that he's going to cast death into the fire, and it's going to cease to exist. Death will no longer be a factor. But that hasn't happened yet. The perfect has not been realized. So we can be steadfast in the Lord, knowing that our labor isn't in vain, because we still labor. We are still laboring, however. So these things have not happened yet. Therefore, the gifts that are mentioned in Ephesians 4 must still be available in order to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So let's talk about these three things. I'll try not to spend too much time on them as we go along, because I know that there's only one person watching, and it's probably Nikki sitting right next to me. Nope, she's not looking at it either. But so I've got one viewer here, which is fine. Hopefully people will watch this later on. And so I don't want to belabor these points. So the first thing that's mentioned in Ephesians 4 is this unity of faith. So it says in Ephesians 4, These gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of faith. That's one. That's what he says. He says one, the unity of faith. So my rebuttal to that is that Galatians 3:28, which is what he mentions, because he says that the unity of faith mentioned in Galatians 3:28 is proof that that's already happened. So if that's already happened, that means these gifts are no longer necessary. I don't think that Galatians 3:28 supports that position. Right? Because what does Paul mean by the unity of faith? So let's read Galatians 3:28. I'm not going to turn to it. I'm just going to read it off of here. And if you want to turn to it or write it down, read it for yourself later. I definitely recommend that you do that. So Galatians 3:28, King James Version, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. So our TikTok friend, he mentions this, he says that Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Greeks, you're all in one faith. Therefore, the unity of faith has been accomplished. I want to point out that he doesn't mention the male or female bit in there, but just the Jews and the Gentiles. And that Galatians 3:28 supports his claim that Ephesians 4 has been accomplished because that's the unity of faith. So the word, if you don't know what the word Gentile means or what it's talking about with Greek, it's really just anybody who's not Jewish. Because the word that's mentioned in Galatians 3 is actually the Greek word ethnos, which is ethnic, your ethnicity. And usually when that word is used, it's used as a term for anybody who's not Jewish. That's what it is. So another tidbit here. So whenever you're doing your Bible study, you're reading the Old Testament, whenever you read the word nations, that is usually this word that means anybody who's not Israel, because Israel is always mentioned as the nation in the Old Testament. So our friend here says that Galatians is talking about the unity between the Jews and the Gentiles. Well, I agree in that part, that Jews and Gentiles are now one in one faith. However, my disconnect with him comes when he uses this verse as proof texting. See, because this is a perfect example of proof texting. Well, see, in Galatians 3:28 says that Jews and Gentiles are one faith. They're all one now. So therefore, Ephesians 4, this unity of faith, that's the same thing. That's what Galatians 3 is talking about is what Ephesians 4 is talking about. And I don't think that those things are the same. I don't think that's what he's talking about at all. Galatians 3 does not support the unity of faith that's mentioned in Ephesians 4. Because you got to look at what's happening in Galatians. Galatians is this story of these people who are in Galatia. Right, they're in this Greek province, and they're recent converts to Christianity, which it wasn't Christianity; it was just another form of Judaism back then. It was just like, hey, we're Jews now that believe in Jesus. Sweet. And Paul is telling them, hey, look, you don't have to worry about the whole circumcision thing. Don't worry about getting circumcised. So within these Roman and Greek provinces and things like that, Jews were actually pushed out. Right, they couldn't live there anymore. But now, when the book of Galatians has been written, all these Jewish people are moving back in, and so a lot of those Jewish believers are Messianic Jews, and so they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and they start moving in back within these Christian communities, and they hear about these Gentiles who aren't getting circumcised, and they're like, "Nah, dog, I had to clip. You got to clip, right?" And Paul says, no, you don't have to do that anymore. It doesn't matter. We're all within this unity of faith because we believe in the same thing. So now we're all unified in that. There's no distinction between Jews and Greek. Therefore, you don't need to get the clip. You just got to believe. And just like there's no Jew or Greek, there's no slave, there's no master. There's no male, there's no female. There's no more class distinctions. There's no more class distinctions anymore. We're all unified into the family of Christ now. But the unity that's being mentioned in Ephesians 4, I think, is different. Because what Paul is saying is that in Ephesians, he's talking about these leaders, these apostles, these prophets, these evangelists who are going out. They're doing the ministry. They're doing this ministry so that they can unify the people around this faith. However, you can't just say, well, now there's no Jew, no Greek, because the thing is that there's still division within these churches. That's what most of Paul's letters address. This rift, this division within the church. So they're not unified yet because they're still depending on his apostles and prophets and things like that to bring them together and to unify them. I think it's a different unification, because the unification that Paul talks about in Galatians is just the fact that these distinctions are no longer necessary, where I believe that in Ephesians 4, the unification is literally the gathering of the body, the gathering of these people into unity. It's a different unity. It's different. One is talking about actual distinctions, and one is talking about the unification of people themselves. Because you have to edify them. You have to build them up. You have to teach them the gospel so that they can know it. And they can know that they are one body. And so that's a practice that is continuing to happen. It hasn't been fulfilled. Has it? I don't think so. Because what's the point? If it's happened, why are we still doing church the way that it's supposed to be, which is us going out and evangelizing, making disciples, go make disciples? Why are we doing that? Why are we even talking? If we believe that this unification has already happened, then why are we still trying to fulfill the Great Commission? Because we all believe that it hasn't been fulfilled yet. That's why we're still doing it, right? All right, the second point he makes is the knowledge of the Son of God. And he says that that is the saving knowledge of Jesus, and it has come. It's already come. And you can't be saved without it, is his point. And he literally says, the knowledge of the Son of God, you can't be saved without it. It's already here. It's already here. So why are you talking about it? We're done. That is the until. It's come. The news, it's come. But just because we have the good news doesn't mean that everyone has it, right? Ephesians 4:13, it says, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And so if Paul says until we all, until is another thing, until this happens, until we all have grown into this unity of faith and into the knowledge of the Son of God. Some people don't have that yet. Some people, that news is still reaching out to them and being spoken to them and being planted in them. Paul says this in his letter to the Philippians. He says, Philippians 2:12, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So another point of mine is that salvation isn't just this one thing. The knowledge of the Son of God isn't just this one thing, but it's something that we work out. So when I was in the Baptist church, there's this, I don't know if you would call it a pamphlet or a book or literature. I guess you would just call it literature. And it's called the Baptist Faith and Message. It's from the Southern Baptist Church. So when I was a Southern Baptist, but I still consider myself to be kind of a Southern Baptist. So when I was in this Baptist, there's these three things, and it was kind of like these three phases of salvation. So you had sanctification, edification, and glorification. So sanctification is the process of separating out. And that's what the word holy, making holy, means. It means to separate out from the crowd. Abraham was made holy. He was sanctified. He was separated from the rest of the Chaldeans, I believe. Right. The Jews were separated out from the rest of the world. They were sanctified. They were made holy, made distinct from everyone else. So as a Christian, when you accept Jesus, you are sanctified. You are separated out. You're made holy through salvation, through the act of salvation. Edification is that building up, that training, that working out your salvation that's mentioned in Philippians. Glorification is that final completion. It's that final stage when your faith is fulfilled and perfected. So the knowledge of the Son of God for me isn't just one thing. It's something that we work out continually until it is perfected at the last stage, which is what Ephesians 4 talks about, which is unto a perfect man. So unto a perfect man, the ESV puts it to mature manhood, or just to maturity. Manhood in this distinction, or unto the perfect man, is just the word for humanity, right? It's just a communal word, not really distinctly for men only, but just this maturity, right? So for our friend, like I was saying, he mentioned 13a, but he didn't mention the rest of verse 13. Which says this. Let's read the King James Version. It says, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's read that in the ESV. It says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It almost says the exact, I think it says the exact same thing, except it's not unto, it's to. So until we all attain the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and maturity, until it reaches the exact same measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until these things come together, until it looks exactly like Jesus. Do you know anybody like that? If you look at the church today, would you say, man, that looks so much like Jesus? There's no division in there. Everybody knows about Jesus. Everybody knows about the Son of God. Everybody does. And everybody is so mature. Would you say that about every single body that's out there right now? And by body, I mean like this group of believers. Would you say that? I wouldn't. Because there's still work to do. There's still ministry to do, right? We still need these leaders, these gifts that have been given by God to lead us into these things, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:4 says, so that we need these things, so that we're not tossed to and fro by the waves and are carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, so that we're not tossed about by every single doctrine that's thrown out our way by proof texting. Because this guy, when I go on his TikTok, man, he screams out a bunch of stuff. He throws out a bunch of Bible verses. And it's like, if you were to have a conversation with this guy, you wouldn't be able to get in any word with him because he's just throwing out Bible verses. And it's like, for me, when people argue with me or when they talk to me about stuff and they want to share a doctrine with me and they start throwing out Bible verses to me, like I have to write it down. Personally, I have to say, like, hey, let me go back and look at that and really chew on that for myself, because I want to be like the Bereans. Paul praised the Bereans because they tested everything against Scripture. That's what I want to do. I want to test everything against Scripture. So that's why I would say, look, you can believe that these prophets are really prophets, but test everything that they say against Scripture. You can believe that your pastor is preaching the word of God from the pulpit, but go home and test it and see if it's true. Don't be tossed to and fro by the waves carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, and the reason Paul is saying this is because there was false prophets going around at that time. There were people speaking completely different gospels, gospels that didn't make any sense, gospels that said you had to get circumcised if you wanted to be a part of the body of Christ. Paul continually had to fight those. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. That's what we're growing toward, to him, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Don't be tossed to and fro by false prophets, but build each other up in love. Make the body grow so that the perfect gift can come, or so that perfection can come, and so that gifts can truly cease. Because that's what you should be after, right? If when perfection comes, your gifts are going to cease. You should be seeking after that perfection. Where, you know, seek after your gifts so that you're working into perfection, so that you can build up the body, so that the perfect can come. And once the perfect comes, then those gifts will stop, will actually stop. And then we are in eternity, right? But you have to preach about the knowledge of the Son of God. And what's that? That Jesus is king. He's king now. He's not king later. He rules and he reigns now. And he has given us authority on earth. That's the gospel. That's the knowledge of the kingdom of God. That it is here now and lives within us. All right, guys. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of MattNews.biz. And I'll catch you next time as we explore more Matt News.